Today's healing message topic is Leadership Qualities of Truth. I'll be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered and founded Christian Science. From the Holy Bible, Psalms. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now from 1 and 2 Samuel. The Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee unto mine hand this day, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. Saul died, and his 3 sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men that same day together. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And David reigned over all Israel. And David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. Now the days of King David drew nigh that he should die, and charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. In Gibeon the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Give therefore thy servant an understanding of heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now from the New Testament, Gospel of St. John. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that had sold oxen, and sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. From Isaiah. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the mighty man, the man of war and counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. I will give children to be their princes, and their babes shall rule over them. The Acts of the Apostles. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and, being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him to them, and expounded unto them the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, from 1 and 2 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, one that ruleth well his own house. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And now from Job, Romans, and Philippians. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. And finally, from 1 Thessalonians. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. And now from Correlative Passages from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. The time for thinkers has come. Truth, independent of doctrines and time-honored systems, knocks at the portal of humanity. Contentment with the past and the cold conventionality of materialism are crumbling away. You may know when first truth leads by the fewness and faithfulness of its followers. Thus it is that the march of time bears onward freedom's banner. The powers of this world will fight and will command their sentinels not to let truth pass the guard until it subscribes to their systems. But science, heeding not the pointed bayonet, marches on. There's always some tumult, but there is a rallying to truth's standard. The despotic tendencies inherent in mortal mind and always germinating in new forms of tyranny must be rooted out through the action of the divine mind. Tyranny, intolerance, and bloodshed, wherever found, arise from the belief that the infinite is formed after the pattern of mortal personality, passion, and impulse. The question, what is truth, convulses the world. Many are ready to meet this inquiry with the assurance that comes of understanding, but more are blinded by their old illusions and try to give it pause. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. The efforts of error to answer this question by some ology are vain. Spiritual rationality and free thought accompany approaching science and cannot be put down. They will emancipate humanity and supplant unscientific means and so-called laws. Take away wealth, fame, and social organizations, which weigh not one jot in the balance of God, and we get clearer views of principle. Break up cliques. Level wealth with honesty. Let worth be judged according to wisdom, and we get better views of humanity. The power of the human will should be exercised only in subordination to truth, else it will misguide the judgment and free the lower propensities. It is the province of spiritual sense to govern man. If spiritual sense always guided men, there would grow out of ecstatic moments a higher experience and a better life with more devout self-abnegation and purity. A self-satisfied ventilation of fervent sentiments never makes a Christian. God is not influenced by man. The divine ear is not an auditory nerve. It is the all-hearing and all-knowing mind, to whom each need of man is always known, and by whom it will be supplied. Our laws are not impartial, to say the least, in their discrimination as to the person, property, and parental claims of the two sexes. A feasible as well as rational means of improvement at present is the elevation of society in general and the achievement of a nobler race for legislation, a race having higher aims and motives. I saw that the law of moral belief included all error, and that even as oppressive laws are disputed and mortals are taught their right to freedom, so the claims of the enslaving senses must be denied and superseded. The law of the divine mind must end human bondage, or mortals will continue unaware of man's inalienable rights and in ignorance of divine power and in subjection to hopeless slavery, because some public teachers permit an ignorance of divine power, an ignorance that is the foundation of continued bondage and of human suffering. The teachers of the schools and the readers in churches should be selected with as direct reference to their morals as to their learning or their correct reading. Nurseries of character should be strongly garrisoned with virtue. School examinations are one-sided. It's not so much academic education as a moral and spiritual culture which lifts one higher. The pure and uplifting thoughts of the teacher, constantly imparted to pupils, will reach higher than the heavens of astronomy, while the debased and unscrupulous mind, though adorned with gems of scholarly attainment, will degrade the characters it should inform and elevate. Physicians whom the sick employ in their helplessness should be models of virtue. They should be wise spiritual guides to health and hope. Clergymen occupying the watchtowers of the world should uplift the standard of truth. They should so raise their hearers spiritually that their listeners will love to grapple with a new right idea and broaden their concepts. Love of Christianity, rather than love of popularity, should stimulate clerical labor and progress. Truth should emanate from the pulpit, but never be strangled there. A special privilege is vested in the ministry. How shall it be used? Sacredly, in the interests of humanity, not of sect. Is it not professional reputation and emolument, rather than the dignity of God's laws, which many leaders seek? If the soft palm upturned to a lordly salary and architectural skill making dome and spire tremulous with beauty, turn the poor and the stranger from the gate, they at the same time shut the door on progress. In vain to the manger and the cross tell their story to pride and fustian. As in Jesus' time, so today, tyranny and pride need to be whipped out of the temple and humility and divine science to be welcomed in. Moral courage is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of the mental realm. Free and fearless, it roams the forest. Undisturbed, it lies in the open field, or rests in green pastures beside the still waters. In the figurative transmission from the divine thought to the human, diligence, promptness, and perseverance are likened to the cattle upon a thousand hills. They carry the baggage of stern resolve and keep pace with highest purpose. Tenderness accompanies all the might imparted by spirit. Eloquence re-echoes the strains of truth and love. It is due to inspiration rather than to erudition. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position or suspect work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. There is but one way, namely God and his idea, which leads to spiritual being. The scientific government of the body must be obtained through the divine mind. The Christianly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. He does violence to no man, neither is he a false accuser. The Christian scientist wisely shapes his course and is honest and consistent in following the leadings of divine mind. Your decisions will master you, whichever direction they take. Let truth uncover and destroy error in God's own way, and let human justice pattern the divine. The vital part, the heart and soul of Christian science, is love. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. Wait patiently for divine love to move upon the waters of mortal mind and form the perfect concept. Patience must have her perfect work. Now, this concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now we'll begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to an instrumental version of In This Very Room. Followed by a musical expression of the Lord's Prayer. now together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.